Palm Sunday. Folks know what Palm Sunday even is. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. It is a beautiful morning, and really it's hard to believe that we've been in this 40 days since Ash Wednesday. Those of you that kind of have a sense of what Lent, the season of Lent is all about, you know, we're basically wrapping things up this week. This is Holy Week. Some churches make it a point to really kind of embrace that and celebrate what that means. It's really Jesus representing Jesus' last week of his life. And in a lot of ways, you know, I think when a week goes by, I mean, just, you know, you think about this coming week of Holy Week and really what it represents in the sense that it really represents Jesus' final week of his life. And I think about how just a week for some of us can be like an eternity. Sometimes a week can just kind of go by like that. Just the sense of time that we have, I think, in our human kind of human perspective, you know, so I think we're sort of bound by human parameters. You know, something happens in our lives and all of a sudden, you know, things change. The things that kind of come to mind when we think about how quickly our lives can change, right? Something can happen in your life, and then all of a sudden, the course of your life goes a significantly different direction. And really, in a lot of ways, that's what happened with Jesus. You know, as he entered into Jerusalem and the triumphal entry and the palms, and everybody's like, you know, Jesus is a rock star, and then things change very, very quickly. And I think about just how, you know, things that happen in our lives. You know, I think the things that come to mind for me are, you know, we have a death, a sudden death that we're not expecting, or we have a job change, or we have something that might happen, we move, or we just, different things happen in our lives, and all of a sudden, the course of our lives, kind of all of a sudden, we thought we were going this direction, all of a sudden, we're going a completely different direction. So we're going to be looking at that this morning, just looking at Jesus' final week of his life, his entry into Jerusalem, and what the church has historically referred to as Palm Sunday. And in a lot of ways, you know, really, Palm Sunday really marks the climax of Jesus' public ministry. You know, Jesus was on earth. He had 3 years of public ministry in which he was healing the sick and feeding the hungry, bringing captives bringing freedom to the captives, liberty to the poor. And he really encompasses the prophecy in Isaiah 61, which says the Spirit, and this is the verse of Jesus himself as he's stepping out into public ministry. You know, he says, you know, this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And this is from Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called mighty oaks, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And so we get this picture of who Jesus is and who Jesus is really for us. And that's the focus question that I want us to be reflecting on this morning. Who is this person? Who is this person of Jesus? And really, you know, his message was the most, you know, history-altering message of, you know, I mean, you could just imagine like how much Jesus' message has changed and transformed human existence. And yet all the question marks that his followers had, starting with the 12, working outward from those that knew him and saw his public ministry and the things that he did on earth, and just the questions of who is this person of Jesus? John the Baptist, you know, who was arguably the greatest prophet that ever lived. In Matthew 11, it says, you know, when John was in prison, you know, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? I mean, John was the one who was to prepare the way of Jesus, and he wasn't like, who are you, Jesus? Are you the one that was to come? And Jesus replied and said, go back and report what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. And so this is the message. This is really the crux of our faith as we head into Easter next Sunday. Really, this whole question of who is Jesus, who is the person of Jesus, really is the crux of our faith. That when we heard the message, when we've seen and been part of the crowds, in a sense, of that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, you know, we essentially know who Jesus is. You know, we are part of those who lived and walked among Jesus 2,000 years ago, but the fundamental question again this morning, and as we prepare for Good Friday and this week of Holy Week and Resurrection Sunday, is who is Jesus? So I'm going to invite you to pray together with me as we delve into this morning's message and look at some of those things that happened in Jesus' final week of his life. So let's pray. So Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, just for who Jesus is, Lord, and that question of who you are, Jesus. In the midst of all the things that we can see in the Gospels, the person that you are and just how it culminated that final week of your life. And we just pray, God, that you would be really inviting us to wrestle with that fundamental question of who you are and what you did. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us in your word this morning. We just pray, God, that you would be just inviting us to wrestle with this and to enter into this week, this holy week, and preparing for the cross on Friday and preparing for Resurrection Sunday next week. And so we just pray, God, that we would just have a sense of wrestling with this fundamental question. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So kind of like what I was saying earlier, I mean, have you ever had an experience or something where something just fundamentally changed the course of your life, the trajectory of your life, you know, where things all of a sudden change very quickly? I mentioned just about, you know, the things that come to mind, you know, sudden death of maybe a loved one or marriage or a job change, the birth of a child, making a move. I mean, the list goes on and on. And more often than not, you know, we're able to prepare for those things in a lot of ways because, you know, we kind of maybe have a sense that we see it coming. We say, you know, I'm going to make a move, you know, in 6 months from now, or whoops, or we, should I switch mics? All right. Distract y'all. This has sort of been the lens in which I've been thinking about this. And even as I was reflecting on my tenure at the church, you know, I was surprised to discover really how ready I think my family was for change. For Joella, Jalen, you know, all they've known is really South City schools, going to Burry and Altaloma, and my oldest is at El Camino. And in a lot of ways, you know, I reflect on just the sense that, you know, when God puts something in your heart, when God stirs something in you, you just have to pay attention to that. And that's been kind of my journey over these last, you know, roughly 6 to 8 months or so, just saying, you know, what are you doing in me? What are you stirring in me and my family? And really trying to articulate the nature of this change, that all I can say is, you know, I'm very much at peace about this, even though I'm not quite sure necessarily what all the next steps are going to be. But, you know, friends, change can be forced upon us in some different ways. And it's not to say this is a choice that, you know, I responding to God's stirring in me to make this choice to embrace some change. In a lot of ways, you know, I think when we respond to change, there's different ways that we can respond. There can be angst. There can be a sense of, you know, preparedness for it. And really it's a sign, I think, in a lot of ways of our character, how we respond to change. And just being able to be patient before God, to take a step of faith to embrace change in a way, in a lot of ways. And I think as I reflect on kind of the transition that I'm, anticipating and kind of going through, you know, it really was a word to me as I was reading this morning's text about just the change that Jesus was preparing for in his final week of his life. And when we look at the life of Jesus, and particularly that last week of life, it's easy for us to focus on the sense of purpose that he had. You know, he's going to the cross. We know the whole story. You know, we kind of can look back and say, well, you know, he went to the cross, but ultimately it's about his resurrection and the salvation that he offers to us ultimately. But the result is if we don't really reflect on, you know, him going to the cross and his death and the angst and the sense of transition that was going on for him, that shift, that took place for Jesus that day that he strolled into Jerusalem on a donkey, we kind of fail to fully appreciate next week when we come in and we celebrate Easter. We have to reflect on what that was like for Jesus. And, you know, one of the issues I've always kind of had with the church is that, you know, sometimes we can focus on just having a sense of celebration, this triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, and just reflecting on just, you know, Jesus was a rock star and he kind of stepped into Jerusalem and everybody was embracing him as a culmination of his public ministry. And then all of a sudden we kind of jump to next week and all of a sudden, hey, we're still celebrating, right? We're celebrating the resurrection and what Jesus did for us. And so often we kind of miss Good Friday. We miss kind of the invitation that God has for us to really enter into that journey to the cross. Because, you know, when you think about who Jesus was, you know, it wasn't to be simply a moral teacher. It wasn't to be a faith healer. It wasn't to be a revolutionary or a liberator. Those were things that he embraced. Those were things that he encompassed and were part of his life. But his primary role and purpose was to live out the things that took place his final week of life. In fact, that's the reason why really the majority of Christ's
that what we get in the Gospels, his final days is really recorded in the Gospels. I mean, if you look at, you know, we're going to be looking at this morning at John chapter 12, and so you really see like a number, like eight more chapters that take place, or nine more chapters in pretty much all the Gospels. We see that final week of his life is really being the crux of his ministry. You know, we look at what we have in the Gospels, and we say, you know, we see that two of the Gospels have the birth narratives in Matthew and Luke, and we get this one brief story of when he was a child at age 12. We don't get anything for 30 years, you know, the so-called hidden years of Jesus' life. And then we get started into his public ministry, you know, starting with his baptism by his cousin John. We begin to see the story of Jesus unfolding in the Gospels. But not more than about halfway, really, in all the Gospel accounts, we then begin to see the end taking place and the focus on that. And even at this juncture in the story, the whole Palm Sunday story that's found in John 12 that we're going to look at momentarily is that we really begin to see that beginning of the end. And it's the beginning of the end of his life on the one hand, but it's also the beginning of something new altogether that Jesus is revealing and unfolding. And so the story of celebration in Palm Sunday is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. In a lot of ways, it's kind of a curious inclusion as to why the Gospels have that, because, you know, he enters into Jerusalem, but all of a sudden, so quickly, his life changes. The trajectory of where he's headed changes so quickly. And so we have to make sense, like, well, what is the whole purpose of this story of Palm Sunday and just all the rock star status that Jesus had that one day that he entered into Jerusalem. And so let's take a look at the passage. We're going to be in John chapter 12, and we got a couple slides here. So I'm just going to go ahead and read that, and you can follow along. So the next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches, and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he is the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt." And at first, his disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things that have been written about him and these things that have been done. And we'll pay attention to that. We're going to look back at that verse 16 in a sec. And now that the crowd was with him, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. And many people, because they had heard what he had performed, that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. And so the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." And so what are some of the things that we notice about this passage? In a lot of ways, the answer to this question really determines the lens by which we see Jesus and his authority, both his authority in the world and his authority even in our lives. And there are people that are wondering, who is this Jesus? Even the disciples, you know, in that verse 16, we say, at first his disciples did not understand this. They're trying to make sense of Jesus kind of coming into Jerusalem, this rock star status that he has. And so they're wondering. And there are others who are kind of just riding the wave because of the miracles that they have seen him perform. This story, Jesus entering into Jerusalem comes on the heels of him resurrecting, Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus. And then even the Pharisees there in that last verse there. So see, the Pharisees have even given up on trying to overthrow him. Because there's been too many examples of Jesus, letting Jesus kind of slip through their grasp, and they're like, you know, there's nothing we can do. Jesus, the culmination of Jesus' ministry is at this point here in the story, when he enters into Jerusalem, this triumphal entry and the palm branches and everything that encompasses that story. And so Jesus is like this rock star. He is a superstar or not. And that's kind of really what we're going to be looking at here. There's apparently a remake of, some of you might be aware of this, there's a remake of the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. Some of you people know Jesus Christ Superstar, okay? So it's a musical that was written back in 1971. And so there's going to be this remake with John Lennon, if you know him, he's a singer-songwriter, as Jesus. And then Alice Cooper, the godfather of shock rock. If you don't know who Alice Cooper is, there's kind of an image there of him in the bottom left. So I mean, I like this kind of stuff. I'm kind of curious sort of this remake. In fact, I want to just share kind of a quick covenant connection. So Alice Cooper, so he's just kind of very, if you don't know much about him, you can kind of Google or find out a little bit about him. He's sort of this rock star guy who's, very prominent, he's kind of been in the scene for like the last 50 years or whatever, but he became a Christian a number of years back, and he actually has some covenant connections in Arizona. He was doing some projects and stuff with a covenant church back then, and it's interesting, you know, see, he's going to be, he's kind of more known for his shock rock stuff, but he's also, I mean, you can confirm that he is a born-again Christian. He's going to play the role of the crazy King Herod. So I'm sure it's going to be very interesting. It'll be, I think, on next week on Easter on NBC. So I would encourage you to watch it. And so I'm glad on the one hand to see that this kind of slate of Christian films that are out there right now. I think there was we were invited to go see the new the Apostle Paul film that came out on Friday, Paul the Apostle of Christ. There's I Can Only Imagine. That's a film about kind of the number one Christian song of all time. So, you know, for a lot of folks, you know, I think there's something that's encouraging to say, you know, we see kind of the Christian influence in the world and even in Hollywood these days. And so for many in the world around us, you know, there is a sense that Jesus Christ really is a superstar. I mean, especially in this time of year, you know, everybody kind of celebrates Easter in one form or another in a lot of ways. You know, often it's maybe about eggs and egg hunt and bunnies and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think there is a sense of like, okay, this is really kind of a fundamentally Christian holiday. And so Jesus is the sense of a superstar. He is to me. But again, what about his death? We don't see, when we think about Jesus as being the superstar, we don't focus on the death. We don't focus on kind of Good Friday as much. I mean, Good Friday is not a holiday that is celebrated across the board. Easter and Easter morning and having ham and, you know, we're going to have a good spread and stuff, like Herb was saying. I mean, that might be a draw for people and stuff, you know, whether people are drawn to Good Friday and what we're going to be doing. I would encourage everybody here to come. But you know, there is a sense that like Easter is the culmination, right? And that's really what we focus on. But what about that journey that Jesus is on towards the cross? What about the reflections that we need to have on how quickly things can turn, how quickly things turn for Jesus in that last week of his life? You know, friends, I was watching, kind of just following the news a little bit this last week on this March for Our Lives event that took place in Washington, D.C. yesterday, this student-led protest about gun violence as I was prepping for today. And I couldn't help but sort of envision for a moment, just envisioning Jesus kind of being part of this event, being this headliner, along with Lin-Manuel Miranda and Ben Platt saying their super cool mashup from Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen called Found Tonight. But maybe it's a stretch, but just imagine, you know, if you can see this kind of, you know, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and I found this image here where you see sort of this path of going to Washington, you see all these people from yesterday that were part of this this March for Our Lives event. And I just kind of imagine for a moment, you know, Jesus going into the capital city with everyone expecting him to protest violence, to stand against a government that wasn't doing right for its people. And that Jesus would have been this superstar, this rock star of coming into Jerusalem, walking down that path towards the capital on a donkey, and people would have been waving branches and kind of, you know, just celebrating who he was. I mean, maybe it's a stretch, but it's just sort of this image that I had about him and for him. And again, you know, it comes back to sort of that fundamental question of who is Jesus. You know, we think about Jesus being this rock star, Jesus being, you know, having these images that we have of him, being a superstar, to have films made about him, about his message. But at the end of the day, it really comes back for each and every one of us as to what is that, who is Jesus to us in our lives? You know, who do we see Jesus being? And in order to embrace all that Holy Week entails, not simply this rock star status of Jesus and all the cool hoopla that comes with that, are we also willing to embrace really Jesus' utter failure, in a sense, in the world's eyes, to meet the expectations of others, to be and to do everything that we think and feel that he should be doing in the world, maybe that the church should be doing in the world? And really, the message of Jesus is fundamentally an upside-down message. It really is very difficult for us to grasp in many ways. But it's all part of who Jesus is, and it's all part of the message that we need to embrace in all of its complexity, especially to prepare our hearts and our minds for what is coming next week with Resurrection Sunday. And so, friends, I'm glad that Jesus is a superstar. I'm glad that I can look at the person of Jesus and say, you know, Jesus was all that to me and to all of us and to the world. And even on that triumphal entry into Jerusalem and that we celebrate here on Palm Sunday, I'm thankful that Jesus was that superstar. But I'm also more thankful that he's so much more than that. And so again, who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to me? And so Jesus is the one who is present now as Emmanuel, God with us. That's the message that we hear at Christmas. Like he came into the world for us. Jesus is our friend and our companion, the one after whom we aspire to model our lives. Jesus reveals God's character, God's goodness, God's purpose, God's vision, his deep and abiding love for all of us, for all of those who were in D.C. yesterday, impacted by gun violence, who are tired. Jesus embodies God's love for those, for us when we kind of, we have this image of ourselves that is not from him. And ultimately he loves us, just for who we are, for not who we're trying to make ourselves to be. Jesus is God's son of, God is God's son whose life and death and resurrection allows us to experience the freedom of life from the freedom from the burdens of life. Jesus is the one who directs our path. Jesus is the one who gives us the strength to do so with joy. Jesus is the one who is our friend and our savior. Jesus is the one who is coming. Jesus is the one who has come. And Jesus is the one who is coming. And so really that is the picture of who Jesus is to me. And that's my encouragement to you this morning. Who is Jesus to you as we enter and continue in this Holy Week? So let's pray. So Lord, as we enter into this Holy Week, Lord, and as we anticipate and embrace all that you have for us, Lord, as we head to Good Friday and we head to Resurrection Sunday next week, Lord, and we can just experience that resurrection, the joy that we can know from just you going to the cross for us and ultimately resurrecting from the dead. And that is the crux of our faith, Lord. And so yet we just pray, God, that we would just really be reflecting on just all that you are, all that you encompass in our lives, Lord, and who you are. And I thank you, Lord, that you are and were a rock star, that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, that people could just see the culmination of your public ministry, and yet how quickly things turned, and how we know that you had a greater purpose, a different purpose, Lord, that wasn't about embracing the celebrity status, embracing that rock star status. But there was so much more, Lord, there that really is what led us to go to the cross and to enter into that Holy Week and just and die for our sins, Lord. So I just thank you for that holistic picture of who you are. And so we just thank you, God, for that message, and we thank you for this week that we can just be reflective of that as we prepare for next week, as we head into Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for just the challenge that you have to just be reflective of heart and mind for who you are in our lives, in this community. In Christ's name, amen.